Welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily reflect the views of Strong Tower Radio, West Central Michigan Media Ministries, or its employees.
Hello, folks, and welcome to Strong Tower Radio Today. And I'm your host, Tom Bajer, with John Duman.
Hey, Tom.
So glad to have you with us, John. We have a special guest today. We have him about once a year, but we did kind of skip a year or two. It's Pastor Craig Harris. He leads the youth ministries, the youth clubs of Michigan for the Michigan Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Welcome back, Craig.
Thank you. It's so good to be here.
Oh, it's good. You've got your own program called Man Talk.
We do. Yeah, that's quite the trip. Pastor Chad Bernard, who's my youth director, and I'm his associate, and so we have a lot of fun putting Man Talk together.
Oh, yes, and if you've never seen Man Talk, where can they find Man Talk?
If they go to it's on YouTube.
Okay.
You search on Man Talk, Chad Bernard. There's a lot of other Man Talks out there that aren't
so
what we do. Yeah. And so if you're looking for it, have Chad Bernard Man Talk. That'll be the
Chad
best
Bernard kind of, yeah. Man Talk. And this is a Christian perspective on life.
Yeah. And so what we use, we always have some type of a scriptural program or a scripture that we base off of, and just kind of real life stuff that, you know, men deal with, whether it's pride, whether it's, what to say in certain circumstances. It's just kind of a variety of things.
Freestyle, and with Craig, it's always going to be fun.
Yeah, right.
Chad's
a little more touched in the head than I am. So we're all touched in the head, but he's so good. He can really take something, and I'm more of the sidekick, the Barney Fife of it.
Right? So. But you all bring it in for a landing. Sometimes we wonder where you're going, but you eventually get there.
Yeah, we have, we always have a challenge for the men each week.
But that's not your day job.
What I do for a living is I run a youth program called Pathfinders, another youth program called Adventurers, and Master Guides. So they're called club ministries. Adventurers is for the families with young children.
What age?
Preschool through fourth grade. And then we have Pathfinders, which is fifth grade through high school. And then Master Guide is kind of 16-year-olds through...
It's a lifer.
Yeah, through 99. So we can talk about each one of those. But I grew up in Michigan. I'm a Jackson, Michigan product.
Not from the jail, huh?
Not from the jail. Okay. I've been in the jail. I used to work for the Department of Natural Resources and would pick up lawnmowers from the jail. And one thing that people always ask me, what is one thing that you have done that nobody else has done?
That's okay.
And so my thing is, I was in the Jackson prison.
Right, and that was a big deal in one day. That was
largest walled prison in the world. But I was inside of the walls when they had the riot.
Oh, my.
I was picking up a lawnmower.
You were in the wrong place.
That's exactly right. But there was guardian angels with me and guards that whisked me out, and I got out before they locked everybody in. So,
oh, wow. How old were you at that time?
I was 19 years old.
Oh, yeah.
How old were you when you got out?
Yeah, I was 19 when I went in, and I was 19 when I went out. So
this is starting to sound like Man Talk.
Yeah, right, exactly right. And so that was, maybe that is a Man Talk. I hadn't thought about the prison breakout. But
it here first. Note Strong Tower Radio when you do that recording.
I married my wife. Went to Grand Ledge Academy, the old...
Oh, I think that's the second time today we've said Grand Ledge. Yes, I'm a Grand Ledge graduate,
yeah.
Yes.
So
we're a special edition.
We are. And so I love Michigan. I love the youth of Michigan. I love the families of Michigan. So it's so exciting to be in the role that I have to be able to strengthen those two things.
So I got one question. I do want to talk more about your history, but it sounds like you play all day.
Yeah, it sounds like it, because I love what I do. And But there is a lot of work involved.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I truly believe it, and I only see this at end. I really respect the effort. And when you get done with a Pathfinder event or adventure, and when they're back-to-back, you are completely exhausted.
We like that downtime, the next day. And then we turn around. Usually our events are back-to-back, and we just have a lot of fun.
Absolutely. So. Well, tell us a little bit about you didn't go straight from Grand Ledge Academy to being the Michigan club leader.
I had
a couple stops in between.
Yeah, I had.
In fact, one of them has something to do with Cadillac.
It does. When we were first married, I worked for Farm Bureau Insurance, and I was a computer programmer. That's what my training is in. And so
we'll have to bring our computers down to him, John.
That
was back in the day.
Back in the day. And so I worked there and then kind of worked myself around. I wasn't really, the Lord didn't give me those gifts for computer programming. But as it worked out, I ended up going computer analysis, working with other people. And because I programmed, I could talk to the end user and just be able to speak both ways. And then I went into the training department. And then after that, I started running I was in charge of all the education for Farm Bureau Insurance. And so worked from the technical side, which I didn't like, to the people side. And I worked there for 20 years at Farm Bureau Insurance.
I did not realize that.
Yeah. And then the Lord tapped me, and some pastors had recognized that they thought maybe I'd been called to the ministry. And so, we worked towards that end. And then I was called to be a youth pastor up in Cadillac, up in Cadillac, Michigan, and
so
that's where I'm
friends.
At right now. Yeah, I got a
lot of
friends
up
here, and worked in here, pastored seven churches up here in the Cadillac area, and then moved down to Holland, to the church down there in Holland, Michigan. Was there for 3.5 years, and then was called into the conference office, which conference office is like
headquarters.
The headquarters.
Coordinating.
And so I was called in there to coordinate all of the club ministries type of programs.
Which we're talking about today.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, why don't we jump into it? And you mentioned those three clubs, the Adventures Club, the Pathfinders Club, and the Master Guide Club. And we'll talk more about that. I didn't even know there was Master Guide, but let's just hold them in suspense.
Yeah, right. We'll work our way up. How's that?
That's right. That's right. Well, Adventures Club, maybe you can give a little bit of that history. I've been around the church all my life. And when I was a kid, there was Pathfinder Club, and that was it.
Yeah.
That was back in the old days, John.
The Adventure Club is like the Junior Missionary Volunteers, JMV. You remember JMV?
Yeah.
And a lot of times, a lot of the things that we worked on, we would, kids will work on their investiture achievement type
and
of things.
And explain that to what the adventures are.
What that is... Investiture achievement is kind of a workbook. We don't like to call it a workbook, but it's a something that the young people can achieve so that they work in personal growth, their spiritual growth, outdoor activities, family activities, and nature activities.
Basically, it makes them a well-rounded person as well as
absolutely.
A well-rounded Christian.
Absolutely. And so each level, each grade, like if in the first grade, that is the busy bees, and then the second grade is the sunbeams. So busy bees has certain things that they have to attain. They have to memorize some easier verses. And
I still remember some of those verses today.
I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. And so it's the old JMV program, but now it's called Adventurer Ministry. And Adventure Ministry is really a family ministry. We really focus on the family with this. And
that's the exciting part about it. As we talked in the pre-show, I thought it was just mini Pathfinders, and either it was and it was still in the development stage, but now it's wonder. Our world, our churches, no matter if you're a Seventh-day Adventist or whatever denomination you're at, families need to be bonded. They need to be working together, and Adventures is probably the ultimate family ministry.
Oh yeah, it is. The devil, knows where to really weaken the church, and that is through the family. And he's doing an effective job through social media, through television, through divorce and all of those type of things. So Adventure Ministries is there to try to strengthen that family. A lot of people in the past, you know, may drop their kids off. They may have the idea that we'll drop them off and, hey, well, we don't have the kids for an hour and a half.
Let's get some shopping
done. Exactly right. But that's really not the power of Adventure Ministries. It's we really want the parents there, at least one parent at each club meeting, so that as they go through the
parent or guardian,
the curriculum, the grandmas, a lot of grandmas will bring their grandkids, and they'll work through the curriculum of it. And they have, you know, a typical adventure meeting will have them have a worship together. They'll have some type of a hands-on craft. They'll have some type of a hands-on activity. Sometimes there's a snack, but depending on the time of day, when it is. But you can imagine if you have a leader with, you know, 11 or 12 little kids, you really want the mom and dads there. And so it makes it a lot easier. So the leader will say, okay, today we're going to make, for example, we're going to make ladybugs. And so they would have a little ladybug a kit. And they work on little awards. There's hundreds of awards, from ladybugs to sunshine to whales to mammals to rabbits, to you name it. There's these little awards that they put on a sash, and very similar to the Boy Scouts or the Cub Scouts with their merit system.
And I think what I like, and I've observed it a little bit past that age, maybe I'll do that with the grandkids now, but that you do it as a family, and you said that, but I cannot emphasize enough that we need these activities. It's a structured activity. You know, at home we should be doing these activities, but the question is, do we do it?
Right. Many of them don't know what to do, and so adventures really can help them along those lines to be able to say, you know, hey, these are some family worship ideas. Well, we don't even have a Bible. Here's a Bible. And they're just there to try to strengthen them, to have them do things together. And they said, well, what do you mean do things? And I'm thinking, how do people not know ideas what to do? But some families don't know what to do. And right. So they can go there and get some really good ideas, and then they'll bring them together. And once a month, sometimes they'll go on a family outing. They might go to the zoo. They might go to a park. And maybe on a Sabbath afternoon, all the families will get together and they'll go for a hike and those type of things. And in the wintertime, there's lots of sledding trips and fort building and just family bonding. And there's just a lot of really, really good ideas with that. And it just strengthens those families. But the devil really tries to get in and to wedge them from coming. So when a family commits to become part of an adventure program, there's always something
positive happening.
Positive or negative, where the devil's going to try to knock them out.
So is there any limitation for this? For instance, I have a niece who's a single mom. She has three kids. So is there anything saying that I couldn't pick them up and bring them over? And
we really try to encourage the mom or the dad to be there, but there's really no limitations to that.
Okay.
If you're the one that's going to be there and stay with them and kind of develop that family's strengthen that family.
Well, just thinking along, it's better to have something rather than nothing, to have John there than the kid, child not engaged at all. But maybe is it possible that John could kind of lead the way and then invite the mom, and then
absolutely.
That eventually becomes part
absolutely.
Of their culture.
That happens many, many places, especially with grandmas.
So just get started.
Yeah.
And do something.
To bring them into the church. And then at the end of the year, we have an investiture where we invest in these young people, what they have earned. They get little pins and stuff, and the families come up together. So it strengthens that family. This is what your family has done. This is what your children have done. This is what you have helped your children to attain. Did you realize you did all of these things this year? And they'd go, what? And so it's very rewarding to see the families grow. And, you know, sometimes the dad isn't interested. Sometimes the mom's not interested. But if one of them comes, usually the other one will come to the investiture or one of the events, and they just kind of come around and say, hey, this is actually kind of a fun thing, actually learning. There was one particular, we have a, at the beginning of the year, we have a thing called Adventurer Family Camp, where we camp out in the north woods of Camp Asaba, which is up in Grayling, Michigan.
Right, and let me pause that. Camping is not necessarily a thing that all families do anymore.
No, and there's, I'm glad you brought that up, because what, there's a pretty strict rule that we follow, is that if you are camping with an adventurer, the family has to be camping. It's not a, something where John can bring his nieces, as much as you love them, and you can't bring your nieces. It has to be a mom or the guardian, or mom or dad, or a, an official guardian, just because of all the
right,
all the troubles sure. In the world these days. So we've got a pretty strong guideline that if you're camping overnight as an adventure club, mom and dad have to be there. And so, that or mom or dad or a guardian.
But that probably really may bring some families together that in no other.
Absolutely. Family. We had one fellow that he did not like the idea to come to our adventure family.
He was not an outside guy, huh?
He was, yeah. He, I don't know if he was an outside guy. He was not happy to have to come to a church related event.
Okay.
So he wasn't happy to be there.
That's the root of it.
And so when we were, you know, we have these little Sabbath school talks and you know, these little activities and craft things. He sits in the back and he had his arms crossed and
didn't look like he was enjoying it.
And
huh?
I had a really good pastor that was telling stories, and all of a sudden his arms went down and this guy was smiling. And then later that night, I was telling a story around the campfire. We always have a campfire story. And I had my blow dart gun. I have a collection of blow darts. And
they don't have sharp ends on them.
Yes, they do have sharp ends on them. Yeah. And so I was using it as an illustration with my story. And when I lifted my blow dart gun up, I noticed that my gun had got bent in the, and it's just aluminum, had got bent in my truck. And I'm thinking, this is not good because it's not going to go straight. So I had a balloon out there. I was trying to aim at it. And I missed that thing. You know, I was about 10 foot away. I missed it by 2 feet. And when I'm a pretty good shot. So I had to keep aiming further left. And finally, I was able to hit the balloon aiming two feet to the left of it because of the bend.
You had a slice in it
and,
or something.
Yeah, it was a big slice. Yeah, exactly, golf term. And this guy was laughing so hard at this whole thing. And at the end, to wrap this up, he told his wife and his daughter, "I'm so sorry that I've given you so much trouble about this adventure program, because if this is what this is, and this church invests this much time and this much money to do what I have witnessed this weekend, I will give you no problem, and I'll start coming."
Amen.
Yeah, so
amen.
We're going, all right. And so I still think to this day that an angel bent my...
Bent your blow gun.
You bent my blow gun so that I would break barriers down.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Well, I'm really excited about this Adventures Club, and I've seen it grow, and I fully endorse your club. Now, we're at the end. I want our listeners to stay in touch, but if you can't, listen back. We've got these all archived on our website under resources, str.fm, Strong Tower Radio FM, and this particular Youth Clubs of Michigan.
Yeah, so if you wanted to know more about Adventure Ministries, you can go to misdayouth.org. It's misdayouth.org. And then there's an adventurer thing under Club Ministries. Click on that. There's all kinds of cool information.
So you've heard of the three club ministries here in Michigan. You've heard one down.
The first one is done.
All right, yeah. And we have two more.
Two more to go.
So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, friends. This is Doug Batchelor from Amazing Facts. Strong Tower Radio is a station that believes in the power of prayer. In the book Steps to Christ, we're told, "Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Not that it's necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive Him. Prayer does not bring God down to us, but brings us up to Him." What a beautiful promise of God's power for our lives. Do you have a special prayer request that you'd like for us to pray for? If so, call us at 877-278-5512. Or send an email through our website, strongtowerradio.org. We have a team of prayer warriors standing by to join with you in taking your petitions to the throne of grace. God loves each of us so much, and he's waiting to hear from you.
Welcome back, folks. We are back to talk about more on clubs. So, good to hear you.
Yes. Well, thank you, John. We tried something new, is to have John bring us back from the break. So we're here with Pastor Craig Harris, and we had a wonderful fun time about adventures, a delightful ministry that grade four and younger, preschoolers of whole families. And folks, today we need to do everything we can do to Absolutely. Bring the family together.
Absolutely. One of the things I forgot is Adventure Fun Day at the end. We celebrate adventure, what they did in the past, and we have all kinds of games. We got 13 stations where they go to, and it's so much fun. So we usually do that in May.
Yeah. So. Well, to Adventure Fun Day, I don't know if I've ever been there or not, but it sounds like a great big T-ball event.
Yeah. It's T-ball plus, man. We got so much... So much more fun things going on.
I tell you what, our kids, or at least one of them, was in T-ball, and it was such a hoot to watch. I mean, the one guy hits the ball, and the whole field congregates on that one ball, and they run all over the place, and everybody, both sides are cheering. Yeah, that's right. The best part is the opposition is cheering for the batter.
Absolutely.
But so T-ball plus, so I'll use that in your advertising from now on.
Yeah, that's right.
So anyway, the traditional youth club is Pathfinders. Now, you'll need to describe what Pathfinders is for our audience.
Pathfinder Club Ministries is a ministry for those young people, 5th grade through 10th grade, kind of, but goes up to through the whole high school years. And it has focused programming based on the spiritual well-being and a lot of spiritual things that they do outside. There's their mental well-being. And their mental well-being while they're doing things outside. There's the family building, and a lot of that family building is doing stuff outside.
Okay.
So, and then there's the nature aspect of the curriculum that is doing stuff outside. But we live in Michigan, so we have to do some indoor stuff. But there's an achievement that they try to attain, just well-rounded, that it builds them mentally, spiritually, physically, and those are the three sides of the Pathfinder triangle. There's a logo that we have, and so it's really well balanced. While the kids are learning how to build a fire, they are learning a memory verse or some other aspect of God. When I was a kid, I was trying to learn braiding. There's a braiding honor, sort of like a Boy Scout merit badge. And there's over 500 honors in Pathfinder Ministry.
Wow, and growing.
And growing, yes. And so I was learning how to do a braid, a three-strand braid, and I was struggling, but my teacher was so patient with me, and she used this, Tom, and it was just, I didn't realize at the time, because I was just, I was a dumb kid, is that she said, well, Craig, think about it this way. There's the Father is the yellow strand, Jesus is the Son, he's the blue strand, and your white strand is the Holy Spirit. And so you kind of wrap them over like this, and I'm thinking, what is she talking about? You know, as an 11-year-old kid, right. What in the world is she talking about? But I'm almost 60 years old
now.
You
still remember it.
I remember that because I was working with my hands, struggling working with my hands, but my teacher came in alongside me, Mrs. Cooper was her name, and she understood that Pathfinder Ministries is about mentoring kids. And so she mentored me to helping understand what the Godhead is and through braiding. And so our really good Pathfinder leaders, they teach our young people about the character of God through, you name it, from model rockets to fire building, to setting up a tent and how to strike a tent, how to clean a tent out correctly, and just a lot of really neat things. The Pathfinders is not just a Michigan thing. It's not something that's around here.
How big is it?
There's actually worldwide, there's 1.5 million Pathfinders.
Wow.
There's 150 countries involved.
That's more than the state of Michigan. Well, the state of Michigan's got 10 million, but that's like one-tenth or a little bit, 20% of the state of Michigan.
I'm looking up here real quick. It's 40,000 Pathfinder clubs around this world. And so it's you know, it's not just your little local thing. My job is to strengthen the local community's club. That's my job.
So you don't run a club?
I don't run a club right now. I would love to, but it just wouldn't really work. I love visiting our clubs, and but our main job is to strengthen them. And we strengthen them by providing programming. We have out at the beginning of the year, we have a camperee, which is like the old Boy Scout jamboree. And we have in Michigan about 1,000 of Pathfinders and their leaders come, and we camp together for an entire weekend. They're on their own. They got to cook their own meals and pitch their own tents, strike their own tents. And
well, I mean, it really, there's several directions we could go with this, but we'll talk about the camperee since we've gone on that path. Some of these kids, it's the first time they've been away from home.
Yeah, and it's the first time many of them have ever been out in the woods.
Yeah, and more so than ever.
Yes. You know, we have kids that come from inner cities. And when they come in there, there was one boy that was petrified of a squirrel. Well, you know, the three of us here, we see a squirrel, we're going, man, that rascal, get out of my stuff, you know. And but that guy was, he was petrified of that. He'd never seen a squirrel. And he said, oh, that's just a little squirrel. He won't hurt. And so just being outside, he just really realized, you know, God's creation is really something. And so it helps break barriers down.
I just think of some of your younger ones, at home, they may not make their bed.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and that's a good point. You have to have a tidy tent because it's inspected.
That's right.
And we've got people come by and inspect your tent, make sure that everything's clean in there, everything's tidy, and that your Bible's on your pillow. And because the Bible is used every day at the camperees, so...
That's a huge, huge thing. Let's go back to the basics and define this. It's like a Boy Scout or Girl Scout, but the amazing and wonderful part about it is some of those organizations have been under pressure, and the spiritual side is not the prime focus of it. And where, if anything, my observation that the spiritual side has actually grown. Over since my years of it, and it's very purposeful. It's not only learning prescribed it, but it's hands on. You're part of a church congregation, a worship community, and you are supposed to be contributing. And I just they're supposed to be sometimes doing things on the platform at church. They're supposed to be doing greetings when there's events. Yeah. They are integral. They have a role.
Absolutely. So, you know, a typical Pathfinder club in Michigan around the world will meet twice a month for their club meeting, and their club meetings will consist of working on some of their things that they are working on within the curriculum. They will do some march and drill, some fun march and drill. And march and drill is a really important part of Pathfinder Ministries, not because we want to show that we're really good, but it's a really good way to teach discipline to young people and teamwork with young people. And so if we say, hey, Pathfinders fall in, we're expecting them to be there in the next 15 seconds. And so you can organize some very quickly and go off. And so we practice some of that type of stuff. They have some activities that they do. And when it's good weather, we're always outside doing some type of nature activity or some type, you know, building fires is important. And so most Pathfinders know how to build those fires. So they'll meet twice a month and for their club meetings, maybe sometimes an hour and a half, 2 hours at a time. And then they have another outing where they actually are going into the community. We call it field work, where they go into the community and help them in some fashion, raking people's leaves, or they might be going and visiting the homeless or providing things for the homeless, visiting people that are bedridden or at home, and so there's, you name it, they're out there helping people in the community. whether it's within the church or whether it's within, you know, the community itself. And then there's another time where they get together and they do some type of a social as well. And so they're pretty tight group. One of the advantages of it, I can call 9 people if there was an emergency that we needed to implement to get a bunch of people, get 1,000 people activated to do something. I can make 9 phone calls, and by tomorrow, we could have a group of young people to come in and help.
Wow,
the organization is just
that strong.
Strong, yeah.
Yeah, FEMA would love to have that.
Yeah, right, and we offer all the time, but a lot of our kids are under 16, and so a lot of that doesn't always work out best.
What is, now we're talking to people of multiple religious backgrounds and such, can people who hear about the Pathfinders on this program and say, hey, that is something, I'm kind of doing a little bit of summary, I'm going to keep building,
yeah, yeah.
But if somebody says, hey, I like the fact that they're being a part of the community, they're learning discipline, maybe at my home, I'm a little weak on that mm-hmm. discipline stuff. My kids need this structure. Maybe they're not going to church, mm-hmm. And here's a spiritual young youth group and such. Can somebody who's not a Seventh-day Adventist be a part of your clubs?
Absolutely. We have many, many non-Adventists, is what we will say, that are attending clubs. And we have many of our dads that are the kids that come in, or the moms that come in. They may teach an honor, or they might come in. And there was one fella who came in one time, dropped his son off. And he saw his son do the pledge. You know, the pledge is, by the grace of God, I will be pure, kind, and true. I'll keep the Pathfinder law. I'll be a servant of God and a friend to man. And when he saw his son put his hand on his heart to pledge that, he said, aha, I'm going to hold him to this pledge, and to be pure, kind, and true. And he had a little bit of trouble with the true part. And so
he took him to task.
He held him to that, but he also held himself to that. He was just an observer, and this father really grew to the point where, how can I be part of this organization?
Really?
And so it doesn't always happen that way, but boy, we've got so many young people that really need structure. And it's not so structured that you can't move. And every local church has, you know, every community has got their thing, right? They, some are a little more focused on nature because they're closer to the woods, or it might be some that are working on helping others with painting or whatever it might be. And so every club has their own dynamic within it. And so, but it is such a wonderful thing. We invite all to come. Again, if you are interested in joining a Pathfinder club, you can go to MISDAYouth.org, MISDA, MISDA youth.org, and go up there under Club Ministries and Pathfinders, and then just contact us to say, hey, I'm interested in finding if there's a club near me. And we've got them all over the place. We got them from the southeast corner down in Niles, Michigan, all the way over to Detroit, Michigan. We have a bunch in Grand Rapids. We have a bunch in Lansing. We've got a few in northern Michigan. We got one in Traverse City, Cadillac. And we have some up in the UP, all the way up to Marquette. We have clubs there. We got 56 clubs in Michigan, and we think that every church should have one. Right? Because it's mentoring young people to be leaders for Jesus Christ. And our goal is to have these young people love Jesus Christ, develop the character of Jesus Christ, and then tell others about Jesus Christ soon coming. And so that's the goal of our meetings.
So I have a question. If a local church has a Pathfinder club, what is the impact on that local congregation?
Oh, it's a very vibrant it's a very vibrant group, because they're expected to work within the local church. You had mentioned it a little bit ago. They will get up front and read. I encourage all churches to invite their young people, especially if you have a Pathfinder club or you have an adventure club, have the adventure mom or the adventure dad, have the whole family go up and read scripture. Just have them do worthwhile stuff, right? Not just greeting. Greeting at the door is really, really important. But a lot of times kids are relegated to things that are not worthwhile. But getting up front, reading that scripture, having them preach a sermon.
Do the children's story.
Do the children's story, yes. And, you know, other worthwhile things are is going and helping people that are in need. A lot of times the adults will do that, but why not take a teenager along? Why not take a 12-year-old around and to help these people that are in need? And then you're mentoring, you're modeling how we're supposed to be treating those other people in our community. And so, Wayne, I just really encourage our local churches, our families to plug these kids in to do worthwhile stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You have honors, like the merits.
Yeah, we have honors, lots of, like there's over hundreds of honors. I've got, in my life, I've worked on the Star Honor, the Mammals Honor, the Bird Honor. I've got all four camping skills honors, sculpturing, cake decorating, and you just name it. If there isn't one, you can write one and then have us test it out. And so there's some new ones coming out. We got stuff on the oceans. There's a brand new one on owls coming out. And so we're just having, you know, they have a lot of fun. The local club is where we always want to strengthen that local club to serve their community, to serve their families. And so we have events that kind of spur that on. We have a team snow outing that the teams come up to Grayling, Michigan, and they have just a wonderful time up there. It's a spiritual weekend, but we have a lot of fun. They have to, when one of them, this last time, they had to figure a code out, go to a particular spot, and they had to build a fire and melt an ice cube. And so that was a lot of fun. Not all of them were successful in doing that, but a lot of fun activities at Team Snow Outing. And then at the end of the year, a lot of times the local club will have their own campouts. And man, we just really encourage our you know, Pathfinder directors. These Pathfinder directors are people that donate their time to sleep on the ground.
You know, I don't do that as much as I used to.
No, and you just, my hat is off to those folks. They just are so good. At the end of the year, we have our Pathfinder Fair. The Camperee, we celebrate Pathfinders, and we're trying to build new friends and that type of thing. At the end of the year, we celebrate everything that they did through the year. So we test them on their skills, their knot tying skills, and their camping skills, and we inspect their uniforms, and we do these type of things. And it sounds like it's kind of inspection sounds rough. We have a lot of fun with it, but we do hold them to a high standard.
Accountability.
Yeah.
Well, Craig, you know, there's more to Pathfindering than we got in this segment. We're going to continue in the
Absolutely.
Next one.
Yeah.
So John Duman and I will be right back.
Hi, folks. Jelaine Fenner here. We are definitely living in uncertain times, and for some of us, it's scary. Signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus is coming back soon. Read Revelation chapter 22. Jesus says, "Surely I am coming quickly." We at Strong Tower Radio have a free book for you called The Great Controversy. Go to the back of the book and read chapters 35 to 42. It'll help you understand the times we're living in and what's ahead. This book even has 800 historical quotes and 1,200 Bible quotes. I love this book. Call Strong Tower Radio today, 231-468-2087, and ask for The Great Controversy while supplies last. And if we don't answer, please leave a message asking for The Great Controversy with your name, address, and phone number. That's 231-468-2087. On Strong Tower Radio, where God's character is proclaimed.
Welcome back, folks. We are back for a little bit more. We heard just a taste of what being a Pathfinder can be, and we're going to learn more now.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, John. Pastor Craig, Strong Tower Radio is about changing lives. And first of all, I should say this. Everybody in this room is a former Pathfinder.
Yeah, that's really good. We were talking on in the break. John, yes. You were part of what club?
I was an Alpine at the time, and we actually, our club went to Ausable, and we planted trees. I don't remember how many, but I know we spent
that is so
a full day planting trees.
You planted trees. So I probably, how many years ago was that? Back in the 70s, you said?
Mid-70s, yeah.
Yeah, very
Those
good.
Those trees are pretty tall now.
There's, and they may have some of them, were they oak or were they pine? That you
pine.
The pine, yeah. There's lots of pine trees there.
But it was an empty field when we started, and it's not empty now.
It's not
so.
Empty. That's exactly cool. Right. We just had some Pathfinders 3 years ago, 4 years ago, plant 950 trees and in various spots
there
around. And I would say that around 100 of them have survived. That's just kind of the way it goes.
It's not like they were nurtured. They were out
on
their own.
They're on their own. They're on their own. That's right.
Well, with that in mind, I was a Pathfinder for 5 years.
Oh, where were you,
Pathfinder? I was at the Lansing Spartans
the
day.
Yeah, the Lansing Capitals today.
Yes.
And I was part of the Jackson Blacksmiths. That's what they were called back there. Not Lance. Did I say Jackson? Jackson Blacksmith. The Jackson Club doesn't exist today, we got to try to work on that.
That's right. Well, it's changed lives, and what happens is Pathfinders changes lives, and I've observed this. I really believe in one of the local churches I was in previously that the youth had a vibrant youth ministry and a vibrant Pathfinders, and I really believe that's the reason why the youth were still in the church.
Absolutely. And it's such a strong program. It's in that when the young people are making decisions whether they're going to follow Christ or whether they're going to follow the world. And so we really want to capture them to give them what the picture of Jesus Christ really is, what his character is all about, and realizing when you accept Jesus into your heart, he's the one that changes you from the inside out. It's called his righteousness, right?
Right.
And so we will use that word, but we just basically say, and accept Jesus, and he'll change you, right? We have that pledge, by the grace of God, I will be pure. Well, we can't be pure on our own, only through Jesus. I will be true. Well, you can't really be true because we're born liars, right? We're about ourselves. But if you accept Christ, his character will change your character. And that's what Pathfinders is. It's about changing their lives so that they can serve Jesus Christ and that they can have hope. And that they can just have true joy, right? Pathfinders is about fun, but the baseline of it is that there's joy in the heart. And it's not just, I have the joy down in my heart. Where? It's down in my heart, right? And it's something that you cannot attain joy unless Christ is there. No matter what anybody says, there's no substitute for the joy that Christ is. So that's the goal. To change lives through Jesus Christ.
And they have an impact on that congregation. It keeps the congregation more vital and vibrant. I heard somebody talk about another denomination, but they said that after COVID, only half the people have returned. And after COVID, how many percentage of your Pathfinders returned?
Yeah, it took a little bit.
It
knocked the wind out of it. You know, it knocked out a wind out of everything.
For a year?
Yeah.
Where are you looking at
we
now?
We are, you know, we started with 1,000, but you know how the demographics of kids.
Sure.
We lost a big group of fifth graders. They came right through. And but we're at about 820 this year. And so we were actually very pleased because there's a lot of clubs around the North American division, which is United States and Canada, that they're about a half of what they were before. And so we're very thankful because we do a lot of things outside when we can. And
which is a COVID-safe environment. Hopefully COVID is waning. And so.
Yeah, one of the things that I wanted to talk about is a lot of times the Pathfinders kind of lose interest about that high school age. Yep. And I think, John, you said you were in it for about 3 or 4 years.
That really only was because where I grew up, for the most part, didn't have a club. We moved to Alpena my freshman year, and that's when I picked it up. And I left when I went to Cedar Lake.
Oh, okay.
So yes. I actually left the program simply because I was going to school.
Yeah, gotcha, gotcha. A lot of our young people will lose interest about that ninth grade year. They're teenagers and there's fifth graders. So there's another program there that's introduced. It's called the Teen Leadership Training Program, or we affectionately call it the TLT program, and where they now become staff of the local club. And so they're in staff meetings, they're understanding how things work. And some kids, they're not ready to be a leader, but we're training them to be a leader. That's why it's called Teen Leaders in Training. And I don't have all the answers. I don't think either of you do as well. So I'm still in training, but I love the fact that we have clubs all over the state. And we have 168 teams in this Teen Leadership Training Program where they are expected to plan the menu for the camporee. They have to plan the safety aspects of the camporee. They are in charge of a unit at camporee. We actually give them worthwhile work. They have to teach for us, teach an honor for us. They're in charge of an activity. And so we're really giving them, again, I keep using that word worthwhile work, but they teams need to know that what they're doing is actually accomplishing something for the good.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a really good program. And so they stay within Pathfinders. We have a pretty good, wish it was 100%, but some of the kids, club ministries isn't for them once they get into high school. But we keep a good percentage of them and active in the church, active in the program. And the older they get, the more and more responsibility that they have. There's one club that just recently was fixing a roof of a barn, but that was a bad storm that came through in January. And they fixed the barn. They were up on the roof. They were fixing the shingles on that. And so they couldn't be more proud every time they go by, hey, that's what I did. Mm-hmm. I was up on that barn. And, they're going to be in their 60s, 70s. I remember when I was a boy, yeah. I would plant trees.
Will. Yeah, they will, too.
Remember?
Yes.
And so you just got to give them worthwhile stuff to do. And we have so many great leaders that are mentoring these young people for that kingdom.
I just thinking, we mentioned about church, and but even if a person is attending another denomination such,
oh yeah,
they'll see a change in their kids by participating in,
yeah,
in
the families. Kids making their beds and kids actually looking to help the parents, be able to do worthwhile
work. You mean they're actually going to help us?
They actually, yeah. And you can't say that every kid does it that right. way, but it's a program that develops the kids mentally, physically, and spiritually.
Well, so. I could even, I'm starting to get the picture, Pastor Craig. I'm starting to get it. That, you may not be attending one of these churches, but you say, it is a venture, preschooler, we need to do something as a family.
Yeah.
And so you work through that, and then they get to the Pathfinder age, and you support the
youth.
The youth in those clubs and the TLT. It doesn't matter what denominations you're in, you're going to
absolutely
be blessed by this youth ministries, which the club ministries that you're under. But You get done with TLT, you've gone to through mm-hmm. 16, you have TLT that goes a couple mm-hmm. of years more, but wait, there's still more.
There's one more. Yeah, it's called Master Guide. Master Guide's been around for a long time. It was actually back in the day when it was first began, it was called Master Comrade, but then
unacceptable.
Because not the right thing, and so we call it the Master Guide. And of course, the greatest Master Guide is Jesus himself.
Amen.
The Master Guide training is the highest level of training for the youth in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Again, it's a worldwide program.
Of 150 countries and,
40,000 clubs. And so you 1. Want
1.5 million people.
Yes.
You got to have a few leaders. You have to plan the next generation to lead.
And so this training is called Master Guide. We actually have started a thing called Master Guide Club. And Master Guide Club is simply people that want to become a better youth leader, a better Sabbath school teacher, a better teacher in general, a better parent in general. Better citizen. They can work through this series of a master guide program. Eagle Scout is something similar along that
except
line.
Except this has no age limit.
This has no age limit, and it is a blessing. Their whole goal is for them to attain this. It's not a status symbol. You get this special scarf that you get to wear. It's kind of cool. But and some people like to just sit back. Oh, I've attained this great feat. I am now a master guide. Well, no. You are a master guide, but now you get to work. Now you have to go in and mentor young people. You need to take over the Pathfinder Club. You need to go into a new community and start a brand new Pathfinder Club, to start a new adventure club, or maybe help in that local church and some youth ministries. And it can cross denominations, whatever it might be. Master guide training is just really strong leadership training and how to recognize, how to listen to kids, how to direct kids, how what their personalities are like. There's reading that they have to do. There's honors that they have to earn. And so it's a really good program. They've got this thing called Master Guide Outdoors. I think I'm actually wearing a shirt for Master Guide Outdoors. And they take these candidates. You can be 99 years old or 16 years old. And if you're interested in working on your Master Guide, there's this thing called Master Guide Outdoors where they do these expeditions. Mm-hmm. And it's not an easy expedition. They're going to be going to the Colorado Rockies this next year. I think it's in August. And they're going to be walking, I can't remember the name of the trail, but they're walking about 15 to 20 miles a day for 4 days, backpacking. They're on their own. They have to cook their
wilderness
own food.
Survival-like?
Yeah, they're what they carry in their pack. They can pick water up along the way, but it might not be clean. So they got to be able to purify it. So it's a kind of roughing it kind of thing. Sounds pretty fun. It looks like, guys, I think it's okay for me to say, because I was officially invited, I'm going to be going to Iceland.
Okay.
With this Master Guide Outdoors thing and some hikes out there. So I'm excited about that.
I want to go.
Yeah. It's going to be with the Trans-European Division and the North American Division, and we're going to be combining together. We're going to meet in the middle in Iceland and do some hiking. And it's pretty exciting that the Master Guide, this group is going to be, there's a new honor called the Aurora Borealis.
Okay.
Nice. The Northern Lights. Yeah.
And lights, yeah. Hey, do they have them in the Southern Hemisphere? That is the question.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know.
I have to ask Dr. Atkins.
Yes,
right?
That's true. So, yeah, Master Guide is a really good program within the Adventist Church. Many, many of them, you guys could be, can I sign you up to be a Master Guide as well?
Well, we could try.
We'll have to describe the program.
Yeah. Master Guide program, there's a booklet. We call it not the curriculum, but it's a, what's the word of it? Portfolio.
Okay.
And there's reading involved. You get to read the Gospels and kind of write your thoughts on the Gospels. There's some, they have to teach a class either within Adventurers or within Pathfinders or their Sabbath school or their Sunday school. They have to be able to teach a class for a year, write what they've learned from that. And so it's not just check the list. There's actually some accountability for that. And so it takes a couple years to attain the Master Guide. And if you get a full-time job, it probably takes more
a little
like
longer.
four or five years to do that.
Well, but my wife is a school teacher, retired school teacher, but she earned it and she...
Yeah, she's a Master Guide.
She's
a
Master Guide and she got it at Oshkosh, which was a highlight for the worldwide... Or did we talk about that worldwide?
Oh, we have not. Oh. Yeah. And so within Pathfinders, this year, this fall, the Pathfinders in the Lake Union, which is comprised of the states of Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan... And so all of the young people that are within Pathfinders, we're going to be going down to Berrien Springs to the youth fair down there, the youth fairgrounds. And we'll have about 3,000 of us down there.
That's a lot of Pathfinders.
Yeah, it's a lot of Pathfinders. And we will have just a blast from airplane rides to learning chemistry. There's an artist named Nathan Green, who is a famous artist. He's going to be teaching the drawing and painting honor. Oh, we're going to have a tomahawk throw. archery. It's called the Fearless Camperee. We're going to have a fearless run and lots of fun things. But then the granddaddy of them all, we go out to Gillette, Wyoming in 2024, where there's 55,000 Pathfinders from around the world will be together. And we all camp, and we have just a wonderful time.
You can meet people from around the world, but they're all under the same focus, same objective, and there's got to be a synergy there.
Right, because Pathfinders is such a well-structured program, it goes out to the entire world. So when we all come together, we all kind of know what to do, right? We all know when someone says attention, we know that just to be quiet.
Right? That's right.
And so we're really, really excited about that. When we meet there, we will be the second largest city in Wyoming.
Wow.
We'll be, you can imagine the logistics of having 55,000 people come in these big fields of where do you get the water from?
A lot of porta potties.
A lot of porta potties. It's just such a blessing to be able to see these people from all over the world.
I think that speaks a lot. When you talk about organization, in order to do what Pathfinder does and has done for how many years?
Since 1949. Started in Anaheim, California.
Wow.
Yeah.
With all that, it is a super organized, in fact, if I could say this, it's possibly the most organized part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Literally. And they also, you say about speaking this under the same thing, the clubs, the organization, everything, you do things quickly, it's structured, but it's there's a delightfulness to it. It's not the ugly rigid. Joyful.
We have so much fun, and it's just very rewarding. Again, we talk about fun, but it's the joy that we seek. And
it's having young people for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Well, Pastor Craig, believe it or not, we've had a fun hour already. What do you want to leave with our listeners? I think we've already given them a little opportunity to reach out and say, it doesn't matter. If you're a Seventh-day Adventist or a non-Seventh-day Adventist, we have in the club that you're familiar with that my sister-in-law and brother-in-law were involved, they have a Muslim.
Yeah, right.
And such.
Yeah, absolutely.
And but if young people, parents, guardians want to have a structured environment that has worthwhile values and will train and change your children for life, this is, you'll want to get a hold and find a club in your area. And how do you do that?
Yeah, if they go to MISDAYouth.org, MISDAYouth.org, click over and it'll say contact and look for my name. I'm Craig Harris, and email me and we'll make sure that we find, just say, hey, I want to know more about the adventure program, which is preschool through fourth grade, the family program. I want to know more about Pathfinders, and we'll hook you up.
Or to be a master guide. Maybe they want to grow up and be a master guide.
Absolutely. And so whatever you're interested in, we'd love to help you connect you with that local club. And if you don't have a local club, we'll help you start one right where you are.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Craig, it's just a pleasure to have you back on Strong Tower Radio today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me. I love it.
You're very welcome. And John, thank you so much for your help.
Thank you. This has been fun.
You're introducing the program. You're raising the status here.
And I'll look for those trees you planted.
That's right.
I've looked for them too, but I can't pick them up.
Until we meet again next time on Strong Tower Radio today. Bye now.